This is for every motherless daughter. It's a ray of hope for the fatherless son, from the faithful one.
Well, we're going to continue here this morning on our panel discussion in regards to growing and maturing in Christ. John 17:3 says, the Lord Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they would know you as the one and only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So I'm going to invite the panel if they would come back up. And for just a moment or two, we'll continue our discussion. We've been emphasizing for a matter of months now our personal growth and maturity in Christ. And now, more recently, last week, our growth and maturity during the coronavirus. And what joy to know that Jesus isn't limited to a church service.
Amen.
And it's funny, you know, I used to joke with people that even if they tried to take Jesus out of schools, you can't take Jesus out of schools. Jesus is spirit.
Yeah.
And he lives in so many teachers and in principals and staff and students. And so, guys, let's just kind of pick it up where we had left off, but with this little addendum. Can you take us deeper and maybe even more practical in some of the things we discussed of how we can be growing in our knowing of Him? A lot of people have extra time. They're at home a lot more. We talked about different rhythms of grace that we get into, disciplines, abiding. Scripture reading is important. Prayer, not praying, you know, for ourselves all the time, but using prayer to align ourselves with what He wants, worship, and then, of course, sitting with Jesus. So who wants to go first to take us a little deeper today?
Well, I was thinking about this morning, and I was just, because last week I had said, you know, it has evolved for me, and it's been different, and there's different seasons of our life, and if we don't have grace for ourselves to let it change and ebb and flow, then we're going to stay frustrated. And so one of the things that I'm currently doing that I've not done in the past is I have started listening to the word. I found out that Bible Gateway, you can listen. They'll read to you, which is funny because I really don't particularly like to be read to. I have a really hard time retaining anything that I hear audibly. But what I have found is that as I'm getting ready for work, I will start listening and something will grab my attention. And then, I usually try to stop then and find out, number one, where they're at, where they were reading. And then before I leave for work, I will get my Bible out and I will read that scripture, and usually in a couple of different translations. And then that's probably what I meditate on most of the rest of the day. And when I go back and look, there's usually a theme. Right. I've been on a love theme for a long time.
It's a good topic.
It can crucify your flesh if you let it. And so it's been, I was even thinking back, like, what are the couple of things that have stuck out to me this week? And all of it had to do with love.
Yeah.
And so, so that's something that I am doing differently as far as what it looks like. I'm a lot like Gretchen. I'm not a good sit still in the morning person. If I sit still, I'm going to be asleep.
Okay.
So in the morning.
Yeah, in the morning.
For me.
Yeah. And so I do better. Like, I try to get something to renew my mind during the day that I can be thinking on. And then usually my quiet time or setting with Jesus time is usually either sometime later in the day or in the evening.
So if I hear you right, you listen to the word because that's now available. You can, and then you kind of set your heart for things that stick out to you. And then you actually go read those in various translations. How do you invite Jesus into your scripture time? Because we've talked about that's very important,
right?
For him to kind of be the one, what's the word, translating, interpreting scripture for us. How do you do that for
those
that are watching?
Well, I don't think like I physically say, Holy Spirit, come.
Okay.
There was a time that I used to do that. For me, it's more of a mindset. If the Holy Spirit doesn't reveal it to me, I don't get it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just don't.
Yeah. He's the teacher of all things.
Right. And so, and I think because in the early days of my walk, he did teach me a lot.
Okay.
I have great confidence
that
he is involved in it and he can show it to me.
Amen.
I don't read a bunch of people's opinions. I don't do a lot of
commentary.
Commentaries, thank you.
Yeah.
I even know, like, the first Bible I started with, the reason I bought it was because it was a study Bible.
Yeah.
And then the more the Lord showed me, well, all of a sudden their studies weren't quite meshing up with that mm-hmm. so much. There was a little bit more law in it than there was what I was being taught.
Yeah.
And then when I started coming to Grace and learning a lot of that, I just set it aside and thought, Holy Spirit, because what you were saying was what he was teaching me, and mm-hmm. it meshed, and so I had great confidence that what he was teaching me was, I was hearing correctly.
Yeah.
So I've just kind of set all that. I mean, I don't say I don't ever use it, but yeah. I rarely use it.
I do it 75% of the time. I would say that I'll say, Lord, I invite you now, speak to me. You remember the out of the book of Samuel, speak, Lord, your servant is listening, rather than listen, Lord, your servant is speaking, which is how I used to do it. But even in Scripture, when I'm getting ready to open Scripture, I invite him to speak to me through
That's
it.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Okay. Gretchen?
Well, to speak to that, I get up. I'm not quite a morning person. And I just say, what's on tap for this morning for me?
Okay, yeah.
And that's kind of my opening every morning. But, you know, you talked about you've been on a journey for a while on love. And what I think I really hope people will be encouraged and understand, like, conformity is a process. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, it's not that you're hard-headed or you're rebellious. Now, there might be some of that in there. We are friends, so I know a little bit of you. But it really is like he's trying to get it deeper in you. Mm-hmm. And so he may keep you on a theme for quite a while.
Yeah. Right.
And one of the things, and I don't remember the exact question. Oh, just how I kind of in detail and walking it out.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking as you were talking on love, he had me in a journey almost the whole summer, maybe the late spring and into early fall, about trust.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept taking me to John 2:24, and it says, Jesus did not yet entrust himself to them because he knew how fickle human hearts can be. Well, if you just read that without inviting him into it, it can be like, I don't ever have to trust another human.
Right.
Like Jesus even
him.
Said it, right? Right.
Uh-huh.
I, you know, like all of that. And so, what he really unveiled to me here and in just setting with him, like in the inviting him in to the scriptures with you is like, you'll be able to trust these people when you know that you can trust me. And when you know that I've made you trustworthy, you know, like it was all of that. And so one of the things, usually in the evening when like my chunk of time that I really hang out with him, not just dialogue in the morning or throughout the day. And I do listen to, there's a couple of platforms, Bible Gateway, YouVersion, even Audible, sells the Bible on audio and different things like that. But, I let him speak to me, and a lot of times he'll write like a Dear Gretchen, Love Jesus letter to me. And so it really puts real life application into what he's asking me, what he's showing me in Scripture and asking me to walk it out.
How does that work, Dear Gretchen, Love Jesus?
Well, I can read you the one on trust here that he gave me, and this was, this was July 1st, like the journey started around on this scripture, July 1st, because we were here for the outreach. And I got alone in the middle of everything going on, and he gave this to me. And it just says, Gretchen, Rochelle, you are to trust me with your heart. It isn't fair to put that pressure on them. It's not their place, and it will never be their place to handle that pressure. Because he was showing me, like, you're putting pressure on people unknowingly because of the issue with trust and mm-hmm. things like that. I showed you in John 2:24 that I only entrust my heart to Abba. That is also how you are to live. I need you to be trustworthy with their heart, and you are not today. And that was very lovingly given to me. I have asked you to fight for them, not for yourself. This is oneness. This is laying down your life for them. Choose to love them well over everything else. honor them by walking out this freedom alongside them, a lion and a lioness, oneness, innocence, abandoning every display of selfishness and possessing a greater concern for what matters to them instead of your own interests and self-protection. Love Jesus.
Wow.
And the end of that is Philippians 2, where he's 1 through 5, where he's had me for a couple of years,
yeah,
you know, in transforming. But it's a letter that I go back to often. When yesterday I was doing my Write the Word journal, which is another thing I do some in the mornings. And
that's like writing out a scripture.
Mm-hmm. It's actually a journal that you can buy. Cultivate What Matters is, I think, the company. And they have it on different topics. And this one is on the fruit of the Spirit. And so I was in Galatians 5. So the way they have it lined out, you write the date, and then it gives you a scripture. And then you physically write the scripture in whatever translation you choose.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side, it says, what's on your heart today? And sometimes I journal about what's on my heart, and sometimes I dissect that scripture. Like, what does the word kindness mean? What does the word gentleness mean? What does the word love here mean? But in that, I asked, like, what am I not trusting of you today?
And in the Dear Gretchen Love Jesus letter, mm-hmm, if they're going to practice that, that would be, you took John 2:24. After you read that, then you just invite him to speak to you in basically letter form.
Mm-hmm.
And then you wrote it down. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Because it's a good reminder. You know, I don't know how many of you guys got letters in school passed to you, like from friends,
uh-huh,
or boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you kept a hold of that. And sometimes you reread it. And that's what he wants. He wants to be so invited to us that's like a normal part. No, it's not a have to.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a letter every day. But when he's really trying to get something in me,
mm-hmm,
to walk out, I tend to end up with a Dear Gretchen Love Jesus letter.
One of the things I've noticed over the last few weeks, how scripture has been so encouraging, not just to me, but people, mm-hmm, I'm in relationship with, certainly people here at Grace Church, timely scriptures, mm-hmm, being sent or texted to people and so forth. One of the things, when I was a teenager, and I believe it belonged to my mom, but it was a God's Promises for Today's Believer book. And so when Steve felt fearful, mm-hmm, or worried or those kind of things, I could turn to that page in that book and it would give me every scripture that
on
God
fear.
Had to speak on fear or worry.
Mm-hmm.
The beauty of the internet is you can do that now if you mention love.
Yeah.
And you could Google, or whatever your search, mm-hmm, engine is, scriptures pertaining to love, or pertaining to God's love. You can do the same with scriptures pertaining to fear. I think those are great opportunities to sit with the Lord, mm-hmm, in regard to scripture. If there's an area in a person's life they're struggling, or they're searching for empowerment and faith, because, mm-hmm, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So if I am not sensing his love, or I'm not loving others well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So I will Google, scriptures on the love of God and begin to say them out loud. It's good for me to hear the scripture and the truth being read out loud.
And we've been taught, I mean, you've talked to us about it, and Gretchen's mentioned it before, about personalizing the scripture. So when he encouraged me to read 1 Corinthians 13, I'm just going to be honest, because this is how me and the Lord do.
Okay.
I'm like, really? Like, can we have something new?
I know that one.
That's
the love chapter.
Did you tell him you had it all down, though?
No, I did not tell him that. I just wanted something new and exciting. Uh-huh. And so I didn't do anything with it right that minute. And then he just never would let it go. And so as I, at that particular time, we were racing horses. It was this time last year. And so there's a lot of downtime in between races, and I'm back at the barn by myself. So I just went in the tack room and I just started writing all the different definitions, because, you know, love, that chapter says, you know, love is kind and patient and all that stuff. And so I did all these different versions of it, and I just wrote it out, and I would read it, and then I would start asking myself questions. Do I love my kids like this?
Mm-hmm.
Do I love my husband like this?
Mm-hmm.
Do I love the people I work with like this? And there were some of them,
wow,
I did pretty much across the board.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a few in there that's like,
right,
this is going to hurt. It's going to be so good.
Yeah.
So I think personalizing it, making it, sticking your name in there.
Yeah.
You know, we've been encouraged to
say God's
name.
Jody is patient.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jody is kind.
Right.
Jody never demands her own way.
Faith comes by hearing.
Yeah, amen.
So I am. But yes, in the one that, you know, in that particular one, the love does not seek its own. That is the one that I've been on a year journey.
Yeah.
And I'm amazed at how much I seek. And not in a selfish, not in the way that we would think other people think that. It was just in self-protecting and
hiding and all of those things.
So
that came out in what you were writing about selfishness, self-protecting. Mm-hmm. All those things are opposite of his love.
Well, as you guys were talking about the hearing thing, something that I've also done that he just reminded me of that has been helpful, Karen has been my go-to, our kids pastor here, but they're like, I learn audio. I love to listen to audiobooks. And so there are sometimes a word, there's sometimes a word that he gives me and I ask her to record it and she reads it. And then I can listen to Karen saying it, while I'm cooking or different things like that. I'm like, I have to get this in me, but if it's me, my voice annoys me, I will, you know, like all of this, like I just need somebody. And Karen is somebody that I'm close to, so it's a comforting voice for me, and she's been willing to do that, and then I can listen to those words.
I want to talk a little bit for those that are watching about how we can hear. Mm. We've talked about the scripture. That's obviously one way. But you mentioned the question, you know, asking him questions, and you mentioned that last week.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about you were willing to ask hard questions of him, and then maybe the benefit of that, but also how you hear and kind of confirm his voice.
I'm very thinker driven, and so I don't have a lot of ishy gushy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like you're gonna talk about, oh, me and Jesus, we just
danced in the daisies with him.
Now, there's sometimes when we dance and stuff like that, but it is definitely the way he talks to me is definitely more on a an analytical or a thinker based, although like it penetrates my heart, you know, like everything deeply. But one of the things that I'm able, and there's a lot of parents home with kids right now, like what in the world do we do? One of the things that I love to ask him when something sticks out to me, Jody talked about a scripture she's listening to in the mornings, but like when I'm out and about or I'm in my house, like why does this one thing stick out to me? And so I begin to ask him, why do I think that's so? And so I do this with my children. We call it observation and reflection.
Okay.
And I take them outside and sit, and they just, you know, they have something usually to write with or whatever. And I just say, write down the one thing that sticks out to you, or the thing that keeps doing it. And I will never forget Waylon's. It was these two trees in our yard, and the one behind it was straight and the one in front of it was crooked. And he wrote it down and he drew a picture of it. He actually drew it in my office on my dry erase board. But I said, well, why do you write down why you think that sticks out to you? And what he didn't know is the Lord was actually speaking to him a truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, that's one of the ways. And what he showed him was, The straight tree is the way you were designed to be in Genesis. And sin came in and you got all crooked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
But then the straight tree is what I've done in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was 10 at the time.
Wow.
And for a 10-year-old to get that, now he didn't know what scripture.
Yeah.
But immediately I got Isaiah with a little bit of Google. I couldn't remember where it was.
Yeah.
But Isaiah 45:2, where it says, I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. Mm. And so, like, the Lord will never speak anything to you that isn't backed up with his word.
Yeah.
Now, it might not be. Yeah, and his character. It might not be directly like you're supposed to go work at Walgreens versus CVS. But It's the heart.
But with
in
that,
it.
Isn't it possible? And I know you helped a lady within the Grace Church body not long ago to have an observation, and she really had a breakthrough that, you know, God does speak to me. I was going to say, isn't it possible that there's a lot of people that think, I don't think God talks to me, but he does.
Yeah.
And I think her instance was she was outside as well, and she had an observation.
Yeah. So what she said was, the Lord hasn't spoke to me in 25 years because this is the way he speaks to me. So I didn't tell her that this was what it was. I just said, will you go today?
Mm-hmm.
It was a prayer shield. Will you go today and just sit on your front or back porch and just write down what sticks out to you? And then write down why you think it sticks out to you. And then see if you're reminded of any scriptures. And she came, and I said, then come find me tomorrow morning in service. And she came and found me, and she was in tears. And she was like, oh my gosh, listen to this. And I was like, the Lord just spoke to you.
Yeah.
And she was mind blown.
Yeah.
So many times we have to change our mind that this is what it is for him to speak to us.
Yeah.
But if it's him, it's always going to be supported with his character in scripture. And
God is, he's spirit, and we are spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we get born again, we get life in our dead spirit, and it's a spirit to spirit relationship Christ came to restore. Mm-hmm. And I remember, you know, Elijah talked about the still, small voice. And I had to learn to listen from within. And then I you guys are probably familiar with Henry Nouwen, because I've talked about him before. But he said the real work of prayer is to be silent and listen to the voice that says good things about you. And that helped me begin to filter. Because, you know, when it's, Steve, you're terrible, how could you do such a thing? Well, I know that's not God.
Yeah.
But when I start hearing exhortations and encouragements about who I really am, who he really is, what he had put within us, you know, that helped fine-tune, filter, if you will, my ability to hear his voice.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, and even when he tells us a hard thing, like, Jody, you're not loving.
Which he does.
Like this.
Like what I just read in my, like, you didn't do that well today.
But it's different than the condemning voice. And so how I've always explained it to, like, the youth was, the condemning voice, there's no hope. Like when you hear it, it is just like, oh my gosh, I'm a horrible person. But when he speaks it, it's like, oh, I don't want that to be true about me.
Yeah.
And there's this hope, and there's like
empowerment.
I would say faith, hope, and love,
right.
And
yeah.
empowerment.
Yeah.
I remember when I was getting ready to do a series on prayer many moons ago over at the other building, I was in the prayer room, and I was a little, you know, anxious about what I was going to share. It was a new series, and I heard him so clear in my heart. He said, Steve, what you have to say is not really that important.
Now, I remember that day.
Now, to somebody who hears, you think, that's mean. It wasn't mean.
That
it took all
loving,
the pressure off of me. Because he said, Steve, why don't you just make yourself and your heart available to me?
That's good.
And when it comes time for the word to be shared, if you let me use you, I'll share what I want shared. And I laughed. It gave me joy. It gave me faith. It gave me peace. But it was a little bit of a strong word. You know, it's not all
That's
gushy.
Awesome.
But even in those moments of correction like that, I sense his love and I sense his empowerment.
And I think you have to ask, you know, like, you'll figure out what questions are hard for you to ask.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and asking the hard questions. So, you know, like yesterday, mine was, what am I not trusting about you today?
Right.
And that was mine yesterday. And we're still unpacking that. It wasn't like, here's your answer. It's an unpacking. But even with that, like, if somebody affirms me or gives me a hug, like, that blesses me. That speaks to me. But in that, like, there's times where I have to ask myself the hard questions of, why did that speak so much to me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, am I trying to get sourced there instead of sourced by you?
Yeah.
Am I looking to men instead of looking to you? And those are some hard questions you have to ask yourself, because it's not always about the bad.
Yeah. And one of the things, Jody, you had said a couple of years ago that has always stuck with me, that I think is really useful question for a lot of new believers and mature believers alike, and that is, what lie, Lord, am I believing about you?
Mm-hmm.
When we get spun up or we're in turmoil or fear. I mean, even like with coronavirus, mm-hmm. we need to be able to ask ourselves, Lord, if I'm feeling fearful and not like a reverence for God, but a tormenting fear, Lord, what lie am I believing right. about you? Where am I not trusting you? So those are good inviting questions yeah. that just invite our maker, creator, father, yeah. Abba, papa.
And you know, he's loving you to and slow enduring. Down. Yeah. Yeah. Like we have mm-hmm. all this stuff going on inside of us, and rarely do we slow down to figure out what's driving the fear yeah. and what's driving, you know, anxiety or whatever.
That's a great point, and we need to wrap this up. But Psalm 46:10, be still and know mm-hmm. that I'm God. So there's this principle that God is known in stillness. God is known in quiet. And I mentioned earlier when I was praying, maybe he doesn't want things to just go back to the way they right. were. And I don't mean that like some huge calamity. I just mean for the church, for the body of Christ, mm-hmm. maybe we can really capitalize on this opportunity to be growing in our knowing mm-hmm. of him in an intimate relationship. And then, like I said before, when we do get to come back together, let it be, Lord, a bunch of lit matches. People who've been feeding mm-hmm. on him, yeah. grown in their intimacy with him, all thrown back in the same room together.
Well, you had said that not too long ago, that you wanted Sunday mornings to quit yeah. being about what we're coming to get
That's
and be
right.
a bunch of people that are coming to celebrate what happened throughout the week.
Yeah, celebrate what it is to be the church. Because yeah. we don't go to church, we are the
yeah,
church.
Right. Yeah, okay. absolutely.
Well, Father, we thank you this morning. And we just prophetically declare, once again, we declare and decree, let the church be the church in this hour. There's only just a little bit of adjustments, Lord, that we're having to make here. But we thank you, Lord, that the church is still the church. The body of Christ is still the body of Christ. We pray not only for Grace Church, we pray for our brothers and sisters all over town. Lord, our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ throughout the state of Oklahoma, the nation, and the world. Arise, shine, Lord. Let your light and your glory come upon us once again in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.